Dari Santa Sri Srimani Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki, Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki, Sri Sri Ghor Nithai Ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra Ki, Nithai Gold Prihvanandi. Glories to the Asamuni Gotis. Glories to the Asamuni Gotis. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. What is everyone doing? What's the service that everyone's doing?
Ram Nomi
invitation. Okay. So, try to do that and hear at the same time.
Can you turn off your mic for that?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can you hear?
Yes.
I don't know if I can do that for the whole class. Turning up the volume means bouncing off the walls even harder. But if you can do it, we'll try. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Canto 8, in Chapter 12, text number 15. This chapter is entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kautuhalaya Dayaham Yosidvesu Maya Vitaha Pasyata Surakayani Gate Payusha Bhajanai Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Kautuhalaya Daityaham. Everyone please chant together simultaneously with loud exuberant voices. It makes, for the speaker, it makes a difference. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Sri Kautuhalaya Daityanam Yosidvesu Maya Vitaha Asyata Surakayani Gati Payusha Bhajane Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Kautuhalaya Daityanam Yosidvesu Maya Vitaha Pasyata Surakayani Gate Payusha Bhajane. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kutahalaya, for the bewildering, Daityanam, of the demons, Yosidvesa, the form of a beautiful woman, Maya, by me, Dvitaha, assumed, Pasyata, seeing that it is necessary for me, Suryakaryani, for executing the interests of the demigods, Kate, having been taken away, Payusha Bhajane, the jug of nectar. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, when the demons took away the jug of nectar, I assumed the beautiful form of a woman to bewilder them by directly cheating them and thus to act in the interest of the demigods. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead assumed the form of a beautiful woman, Mohini Murti, the demons were certainly captivated, but the demigods present were not. In other words, those who maintain a demoniac mentality are bewildered by the beauty of a woman. But those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, or even those on the platform of goodness, are not bewildered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that because Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person, he cannot be bewildered even by the most beautiful woman. Cupid himself tried to invoke Lord Shiva's lusty desires in the presence of Parvati, but Lord Shiva was never agitated. Rather, the blazing fire from Lord Shiva's eyes turned Cupid to ashes. Therefore, Lord Shiva had to think twice, I'm sorry, Lord Vishnu had to think twice about what kind of beautiful form would bewilder even Lord Shiva. Consequently, he was smiling gravely, as stated in the previous verse, Prahasya Bhava Gambiram. A beautiful woman cannot induce Lord Shiva to be lusty. But Lord Vishnu was considered whether there was any form of a woman who could enchant him. Om Gyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Vedanti Kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Ghaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Kautu Halaya Daityanam Yoshidvesu Maya Dhritaha Pasyata Surakaryani Gate Vayusha Vajjane. The Supreme Personality of God said, when the demons took away the jug of nectar, I assumed the beautiful form of a woman to bewilder them by directly cheating them and thus to act in the interest of the demigods. Wonderful section in Srimad Bhagavatam where it's being nicely described how Lord Vishnu is satisfying the desires of Lord Shiva to see that form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that was in the form of a very attractive woman. It says here that this is interesting because Lord Vishnu, he's gravely thinking. That what form can I exhibit? Because when I exhibited that other form, Mohini Murti, the demigods weren't bewildered. So what to speak of Lord Shiva? He is much greater than all the demigods put together. When Cupid emanated so many different female forms in front of Lord Shiva to attract his mind, he was not at all disturbed. In fact, he decided to get rid of Cupid, so he just emanated a fire from his eye and burned Cupid to ashes. That's the story. You all know the story? How when Rati, I believe her name was Rati, she found she was living with a husband who was a demon, and he threw the fish. There was some fish in the ocean. You all remember that from Krishna book? I just think it's very hard for me to give class. It doesn't seem like anyone's paying any attention. I just feel like I'm talking to nobody. It's very difficult. Is there any other time that this can be done? It's just impossible. I just don't feel anybody's really paying attention. I would rather not give class. It's just like all these ruffling the papers. It's just so disturbing. Yes? If that's okay. I mean, I don't mind not giving class if that's... But I just don't feel at all this is right, this is proper for... Yeah, it's just the ruffling noise. It's just like very, very unsettling. Okay, if that's okay, we can do it some other time during the day or maybe even some, but it's just impossible for me to get class. I just don't know how to do it. All right. So there's a wonderful story in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein there is one demon. His name is Sambhara. And he is married to one very saintly lady. I believe her name is Rati. And one day he catches a fish. And in that fish, you know, when he cuts it open, there was a little baby. And it was a big fish, of course. And this is mentioned in Prabhupada's explanation of Krishna book. And when Rati saw this fish, immediately she fell in love with this little boy. She immediately fell in love with this little boy. And of course she raised him. And of course that was Pradyumna, the son of Krishna, who was ultimately an incarnation of Cupid. So when Shiva burned the original Cupid to ashes, he took rebirth in the form of Cupid and the son of Krishna. So this is how the connection to this particular transcendental story. So Rati, and she raised this little boy, and then gradually she introduced him to all her friends, and then ultimately that wasn't his real mother. His real mother was the wife of one of the wives of Krishna. I don't know if you can remember which wife it was. There was Krishna had at the queens in Dwarka. There was about 10 different queens, 5 principal queens. One of them was the actual mother of Pradyumna. So the story goes on here. How Lord Shiva, he is not able to be attracted by the beautiful form of a woman. And this is a very interesting subject matter for Srimad Bhagavatam and for devotees in general, because practically the entire material creation is based on this principle. In fact, not practically, it is the principle of material existence. Pumsam Sriya Mituna Bhava Metam Tayor Mityu Hridaya Granti Ahur Ahul Kriha Shaita Sutapta Vitar Janasa Moham Yamaham Mamaiti. It's explained by Sri Rishabhdev in Srimad Bhagavatam that the attraction between man and woman is the basic principle of material existence. And based on this misconception, as the word gives the explanation in this verse, that the hearts of the man and woman become tied together like two hard knots. And based on this hard knot, then so many extensions from that relationship develop. Home, children, wealth, possessions. Ultimately, one becomes attached to all these things in terms, and starts thinking in terms of I and mine. So Sri Rishabhdev, who is actually an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, gives a very clear indication of the basic principles of material existence. This material world is called Maitunya Agra. Maitunya means, again, sex life, and Agra means shackles. That what keeps the conditioned soul conditioned is the attachment to the opposite sex. And this is the basic principle of material existence. If, when the living entity breaks that attachment, they break all other material attachments practically, because that is the foundation for all attraction in this material world. And we see here that it's explained here how Mohini Murti incarnated in that particular form because she knew that the demons are attracted by that lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, arrogance, pride. These are all demoniac qualities that come by being attracted to the material energy. But how can one break the attraction to the material energy? It's very difficult. Krishna says, Lord Kapila, who is actually Krishna, explains in the third canto, just see the power of my Maya in the form of a woman. It can bewilder even the most greatest of all conquerors. And of course we understand that one of the greatest of all conquerors in the world was, who was that one very powerful conqueror? Alexander the Great. And he was conquering empires everywhere and establishing his own empire. But it is explained in his life that when he would go into the chambers of a woman, he would be like a little dog in the hands of a woman, plaything. So that is the power of Maya. Maya is very strong. And it is the desire to enjoy material sense gratification that more or less comes out in different ways. In the form of a woman is actually the attachment. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we don't emphasize just one side, where it's just the form of a woman. Also, women should not be attracted to men. Also, because if a woman is attracted to men, then she also becomes entangled into that existence of material energy. Just like there's a beautiful, beautiful story in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where this effect is also explained. Of course, we read throughout Srimad Bhagavatam the attraction of a woman, of course. Because what's this Srimad Bhagavatam saying? It says that man's body is meant for self-realization. And woman's body is designed to distract a man from self-realization. That is the statements of the scriptures. So you can understand that, because ultimately the conditioned soul comes to this material world to enjoy sense gratification. So the personification of sense gratification is the form of the opposite sex, in the form of a woman. And that attachment ultimately keeps the conditioned soul in the material world life after life after life. And to break that attachment is very difficult. To use the opposite example, when Krishna was in Dwarka with one of his main queens, Rukmini, he decided to test Rukmini's love for him. So he knows how Rukmini, she's very, very submissive, and she's very, very loving towards Krishna. She has a very, what we call, mild attitude, as opposed to Satyabhama. Satyabhama was one of Krishna's main queens also, but she had a fiery attitude. So Krishna was thinking, let me get Mother Rukmini angry. So what did he do? He started to degrade himself. He started to criticize himself. He started to belittle himself in the eyes of Rukmini, saying, you had so many opportunities to get so many nice husbands, but why did you choose me? This was Krishna was speaking to her like that. And he says, you know, I don't even have a good caste or background. Nobody knows where I come from. I don't have any job. Of course, the acharyas are explaining, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have any material caste or any background or any kind of occupation. He's transcendental to all these things. But Krishna was speaking like this. And finally he was saying, Rukmini, you made a mistake. But it's not too late. You should get a good husband. But what happened? Rukmini felt so overwhelmed with emotional towards Krishna that she didn't know what to do. She just fainted out of love. And it's explained that her fainting was like a banyan tree being hit by a whirlwind. He just collapsed. So Krishna, when he realized that his joke wasn't so funny, he picked her up, and then he started to, you know, explain in a very loving way his attraction for her. And then she went on to speak. And this is a very, very interesting part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. She starts to describe the impermanent nature of the physical form of a man in this material world with all its manifestations. And this applies both sides. Now, what is the material body? This is a very interesting point. Sometimes we find people don't like to talk about this subject matter, but it's the reality. What is this body? If you analyze the ingredients of this body, it comes to earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and ego, and sky. And five gross elements, three subtle elements. But within this combination of these gross and subtle elements, what are the substances? Blood, pus, urine, stool, bone, marrow, semen. What else is there? So many wonderful ingredients.
Mucus,
yeah. We can go on and describe, if you were to analyze it, this is, and then you have a little tiny thin layer of skin which is covering the body, and we say, oh, it's so nice. Really, that's pretty much what is the ingredients. The thin layer of skin hides all these wonderful substances that we consider. And just like, you know, every day you have your activities taking care of the body. And, you know, we have bathrooms. It's a place in India. The bathroom, where was the bathroom? Outside of the house. Right? To have a bathroom inside of the house would mean to be uncivilized. You were considered to be a Malaysia, a low-class person. But, of course, Western society doesn't understand these principles. But bathrooms were outside because it wasn't a nice place. It wasn't a nice place. And this is the ingredients of this material body. And then there's a little thin layer of skin. And then if you look at that, really, it's got all kinds of holes in it and all kinds of hairs popping out of it. So again, even from that point of view, it's not a very, you know, attractive ingredient. But what makes the conditioned soul attracted to the form of the opposite sex? It's not the form itself that's so attraction. It's that we have a natural attraction for Krishna. But because the conditioned soul has lost that attraction for Krishna, it's trying to find that attraction for Krishna somewhere in the material world. So Krishna, of course, is the manifestation of all attractive qualities. The name of Krishna means all attractive. So, of course, out of all the qualities that attract the devotee the most, what is Krishna's most main attractive quality? The devotees always find that his beauty. Out of all the qualities of Krishna, his beauty is very attractive. Just like every day we see the deity, Krishna comes in that form every day just to attract our minds and hearts. Not only attracted to attract us towards him, but to attract us away from this material, temporary forms that we find so much attractive. So, in this way, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that for a man to become attracted to a woman, and for a woman to become attracted to a man, they both become entangled in the complicated meshes of this material energy. And for birth after birth after birth after birth after birth after birth after birth, you must continue dealing with this attraction until finally they develop a real attraction for Krishna. So it's explained that a man and a woman should have an attraction for Krishna because that is ultimately the principle. So you see here that Lord Shiva, he's not an ordinary living entity by no means. He's Vaishnavanam Yadasambhu. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And there's so many exhibitions of his transcendental nature. Just to be a little bit more graphic, he is considered to be personification of Dhira. You know what the word Dhira is? Dhira means sober. And he's not attracted by anything. Even when Parvati was playing with his male organ, he didn't even feel any attraction or disturbance. He was simply fixed in meditation. That's Lord Shiva. So Vishnu is saying, how can I attract Lord Shiva? He's beyond any type of attraction. Is there anything in this world? So Vishnu was thinking that, yes, of course, my power is because the supreme of all powers. And we'll read later on how Lord Shiva was ultimately attracted to that form. But what was that form? It was not only a beautiful form of a woman, it was Krishna. It was Krishna. And it was specifically meant to show the power of Lord Vishnu over Lord Shiva, or over any power which is in this universe. To break the attraction to this material world is not easy. And of course it's not possible unless we become attracted to Krishna. So that's the whole idea, that one has to replace the attractions for the ephemeral, temporary, actually mundane forms of this world and become attracted to Krishna. The gopis, they used to curse Lord Brahma. Why would they cursing the creator of the universe, the most powerful person in the entire creation? They were cursing him? Why? Well, they said, Brahma, you are an imperfect creator. You have created eyelids that blink. And therefore, we cannot constantly see Krishna. There's some interruption in our vision due to the blinking of the eyelids. And they weren't just using this as some, exaggeration. They were actually feeling like this. But this is some fault on the part of Brahma. He's made these eyelids that blink. And therefore our attraction to Krishna is being temporarily disturbed. So Brahma, of course, didn't know what to say. But this is the attraction that Krishna can invoke amongst his living beings, his parts and parcel. That the attraction for Krishna becomes so strong that, as Jamunacharya said, when I think about the things of this world anymore, after having been attracted to Krishna, I become sick, I become disgusted. I want to, my lips curl in disgust and I want to spit. So what is that he is experiencing? It's not that he was never attracted to this material world. He used to be a king. And he was a powerful king. And you know what kings do. They engage in all kinds of activities which are based on sense gratification. And he was degraded. Somehow or other, by the mercy of his spiritual master, he was tricked into coming back to spiritual life. And gradually he became a pure devotee, so powerful that he was actually the teacher of Ramanujacharya. So he speaks, and Prabhupada quotes quite often, that when I think about sex life, my lips turn in disgust and I want to spit. So what is that quality that is in that personality that can make them feel like that? That is the beauty of Krishna. That is the attractive power of Krishna. Krishna is so attractive. And that even a little attraction for Krishna can completely destroy all attractions in this material world. So the business of a devotee is somehow or other develop one's attraction for Krishna. That is the success in our spiritual life. The more the living entity develops their attraction for Krishna, the more they lose attraction for this material world. That is the actual. The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, and other forms of spiritualists, they try to negate the attractions of this world through different forms of meditation and penances and austerities. But unless you can replace that with a higher form of attraction, that attraction remains. It's just like if you don't see something for some while, you may forget about its attraction potency to it. But that doesn't mean you've lost the attraction to that. It still remains due to the desire to enjoy that object. So the impersonalists are like that. They try to artificially stop their attraction from this material world through negating the reality of this material world and become absorbed in penances and meditation. But ultimately, one has to become attracted to Krishna. Hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, remembering Krishna, the nine processes of devotional service are meant to help us develop our attraction for Krishna. And of course, Srila Prabhupada has written so many transcendental literatures describing the wonderful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya, who was also Radha and Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, and Jagannath,
And now we're getting ready for Ram Navami, the pastimes of Sri Ram. Those stories of the Ramayana, describing the different exploits and adventures of Sri Ram, are known throughout the world. Practically until Srila Prabhupada came, Krishna's pastimes were pretty much in Vrindavan, or in India mostly. But before Prabhupada came, even throughout most of the eastern world, there was always stories about Ram. You can study other cultures and you'll find that the Ramayana is there in practically mostly all the Asian countries. It's been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, actually maybe even thousands of years. It goes under a different name and there's some variations in the story. But ultimately, Sri Ram has been known in the eastern world for thousands of years. This is Sri Ram's pastimes are very, very popular with the living entities in this world. So we have no dearth of information about the availability of how to get attracted to Krishna. And when simply by absorbing our consciousness in Krishna, we can lose our attraction for this material world. Otherwise, Maya is impossible to overcome. There's no way one can overcome the power of Maya. Not through penances, not through austerities, not through some kind of mental determination. I will not get attracted. And Maya says, ha ha, you're my next candidate. Really? Even the most determined person, if they do not become attracted to Krishna, will ultimately fall to the material energy. Because that is the power of Maya. Maya is very strong. Is a very, very nice explanation of the power of Maya in the form of the opposite sex in the explanations by Lord Kapiladeva to his mother Devahuti. It's in chapter 31 of canto number 3, verses 32 through 42. If you find some time, read that. Kapiladeva really speaks very strongly about the power of Maya in the form of the opposite sex, how powerful it actually is. So we can see this is the foundation for material existence. And Srila Prabhupada has emphasized this point throughout his purports constantly, that ultimately we have to get attracted to Krishna. Otherwise, any attraction to this material world keeps the conditioned soul in this material world life after life after life after life. Whatever that attraction may be, ultimately it is the bondage which forces the conditioned soul to take rebirth in this material world. But fortunately, Krishna is so wonderful, his pastimes are so wonderful, that it's not very hard to lose attraction for the things of this world. Just by hearing about Krishna's transcendental pastimes, one becomes so attracted. There's a very, very beautiful book that's just been released, maybe about a year ago. It's called Venu Gita. It was done by Shiva Ram Swami, and he's working on... You're reading? Ah. If you read that, these are all... We read Krishna book about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. We hear all the transcendental stories. And these take you deeper into the mellows of loving relationships. How everything in Vrindavan is attracted to Krishna's flute. The birds, the trees, the rivers, and of course the gopis, Krishna's friends, the clouds. Everything in Vrindavan is by nature animate. It all is sentient, it all has consciousness. And everyone is attracted to Krishna. Everything just stops when Krishna blows his flute. And the most amazing stories are being explained here. And we hear about how the residents of Vrindavan are so attracted to Krishna. Immediately our hearts and minds also become attracted to Krishna. Who is that personality that can create complete mindlessness towards anything else but himself? Radharani, she is called Krishna Mayi. One of the names of Srimati Radharani is called Krishna Mayi. That means within and without, she is for Krishna. She cannot think of anything, she cannot even breathe without thinking of the name of Shamsundar. She's always absorbed in it. So we follow in the footsteps and the great souls, and we hear about these transcendental pastimes, we read them, and we speak about them, and gradually we find that we lose our attraction for this material world. And by losing attraction for this material world, taktva deham purnan janman maiti mameti sojuna, one goes back home, back to Godhead, to associate with the Lord in transcendental loving service. What we are doing now is we are practicing to go back home. And we're performing our devotional service in a somewhat of an atmosphere that is contaminated. But ultimately we'll be able to perform that devotional service in a pure and a blissful atmosphere, which is free from all kinds of material liberties. So now we're practicing ultimately to attain that state of pure love for the Lord. So the more we absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the more we lose our attraction for this mundane material energy. That is Krishna consciousness. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Ultimately to get attracted to Krishna. Because what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? It's 10th canto. Of course, many unauthorized commentaries, they go right to the 10th canto. They want to understand Krishna's lila immediately. But Prabhupada explained, and the acharyas explained, that we have to gradually understand Krishna by going through the 9 cantos step by step. We have to understand Krishna as the creator and destroyer of this material cosmic creation. And then we can understand about that transcendental personality who is relating to with his many associates in the spiritual world. That foundation has to be there, otherwise 10th canto remains somewhat just stories. But the essence of the 10th canto, the essence of Krishna consciousness, is Krishna in Vrindavan. That is what we're meant to develop, that mood of attraction, to hear about Krishna in Vrindavan. Okay, I think people are going to sleep here. So, maybe we should see if there's any questions, comments on anything.
Maharaj?
Yes?
You said that the whole purpose of the creation of God was to think about Krishna in Vrindavan. Is it then possible that by meditating on Krishna in Vrindavan, that even in this lifetime, someone might be able to
Yeah, meditating on Krishna and Vrindavan is what we want to do, but ultimately we should do that by reading the pastimes in Krishna book and the authorized scriptures given by the Vaishnavacharyas. We can absorb our consciousness in that. Through that we can understand what is the process of meditation. We cannot artificially create a meditation in our own mind and expect that meditation to be a bona fide form of meditation. So read these transcendental stories. When we first joined Krishna consciousness back in the old days, Prabhupada set up, every night you read Krishna book before you take rest. So all the devotees would come together, they would serve out hot milk, and everyone would sit around and drink milk and maybe some other light prasad, and then someone would be reading Krishna book. And that was the last thing we did. This was for years. And then we would all take rest thinking about Krishna's pastimes. So that was the way we ended our day every day, just hearing about the lila of Krishna like that. So Prabhupada gave us pretty much a foundation for helping us to remember Krishna. Read these stories and speak them. When you speak them, you remember them. If you read them, it's very, very difficult to retain a somewhat of a significant memory. But if you speak them, you'll then also... We like to, every day we find ourselves speaking. And we should look, what am I speaking about? Is it really important in my spiritual life? Or is it just because my mind is so agitated I need to say something? So we may speak about Krishna, and then that is the proper use of speech. Like that. Speak about devotional service. That's what's all, this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. It means becoming conscious of Krishna. Anything else? Any other comments or questions? I must humbly apologize for interrupting your service. Anyway, okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.